This is Power Lunch, exclusively on Lightning Power Play via the iHeartRadio app.
Right circle, Haskin at right point. Klingberg shoots. Blocked! It's out of the zone! Into the neutral zone! 8 seconds left! Barkley Goodrow after it! Time ticks down! The Lightning win the Stanley Cup! They have reached the top of the mountain! They are the Stanley Cup champs!
Wow. That's all I can say is wow. What a job by these guys.
Who was Phil talking about? What a job by these guys. Because, I tell you what, Florida Panthers played a pretty good game last night against the Tampa Bay Lightning, and they snapped the Bolts' six-game win streak. All good things come to an end, eventually. And you knew Tampa Bay wasn't going to run the table the rest of the year. And facing some injuries, you can make a case it caught up to them in addition to how well the Florida Panthers played. And I think we have to give credit to what they did last night. And now they get an opportunity with the way this season is playing out to play the Panthers the next two nights. And you would expect a better effort from the Tampa Bay Lightning. It is Power Lunch here on Lightning Power Play. Glad you're with us. I am Greg Linnelli, along with the radio voice of the Lightning, Dave Mishkin. Steve Versink is producing. Derek Lalonde will be joining us in the next segment. We'll get his thoughts on how the game transpired. What adjustments will his team make for Saturday? And maybe an update on Steven Stamkos and Anthony Cirelli. Stamkos out day-to-day with a lower body injury. And Anthony Cirelli didn't play a good portion of the third period. Let me bring in my partner, Dave Mishkin. Dave, I thought just a couple of things that stood out big picture before we really get into the game, that a lot of people talked about the Panthers' record up to that point Thursday night, that they really hadn't played a really good team, let's put it that way. But I thought last night, at least for one game, they answered some questions, and they looked pretty good, didn't they?
They did. The Panthers played very, very well, and the Lightning didn't. And when you have a disparity that big, unless you get an incredible goaltending performance and a couple of against-the-grain goals, you're probably going to lose. And that's what happened to the Lightning last night. And, you know, you use the word effort, I think, or you probably remember exactly how you put it. The Lightning didn't have a good effort or a poor effort. And, you know, a lot of times we might take exception to that word because effort is something you can control. And maybe you made some mental mistakes or the other team was just incredibly dialed in and carried the day. I do think effort is a fair word to use about the Lightning's performance last night, because in the areas that have nothing to do with the X's and the O's, the Lightning were not at Florida's level. They weren't at their level in terms of their urgency, in terms of their compete, in terms of their hunger to win puck battles, to be hard on pucks. I mean, these are areas that are so important to having success in hockey. And the Lightning fell short last night. So the Panthers, in addition to that, did very well with their X's and O's. You know, they played fast. They played north. They didn't really go side to side. They were great in the faceoff circle. They funneled pucks to the net. They had long, sustained offensive zone shifts. I mean, this is the sort of stuff we usually are using to describe how the Lightning play. But that was how the Panthers played last night. So they were dialed in emotionally, and they were dialed in terms of their execution. And the Lightning weren't. And that was the biggest story, at least to me, in last night's game, other than the injury to Cirelli and the injury that kept Stamkos out for the entire game.
We're going to get into what adjustments maybe Tampa Bay will make with their roster, assuming that Stamkos and Cirelli can't go tomorrow night. I think obviously there's going to be some internal shakeup in terms of who can move up to a first line, who can move to the second line. Is there somebody from the taxi squad they will bring in? Jamel Smith is somebody that I know a lot of people have asked about, and he could be somebody, Dave, that gets that opportunity to get into the lineup. But I think for the Florida Panthers,
and Jamel Smith is a center too, we should mention,
which helps.
I mean, Stamkos hasn't been playing center, but he's a center. Cirelli's a center.
there are a lot of people that, probably me included, you included as well, that felt like that was a bigger deal for the Panthers last night than it was for the Lightning. And it was based off of the comments, too, the day before, or that the day of the game. I mean, you heard the Panthers saying, this is a pretty big game for us. You know, we want to prove that we're one of the better teams. And I think for the Lightning, it was, you know, look, they're in the standings. They're playing well. They're doing a great job. But we're looking at this as just another game. And, you know, whether that mindset changes from here on out, Dave, who knows? But I got the sense leading up to the game, it might have been a bigger deal for the Panthers than it was the Tampa Bay Lightning.
I agree. I thought that going in. I guess we'll never know for sure. We're just basing it on some of the comments. But the Panthers certainly played like that outcome had, you know, great importance to them. And they wanted to put on a good showing, and they did. You know, the Panthers have gotten off to a good start. One of their losses in extra time, can't remember if it was overtime, the shootout, was in Columbus. They played two games in Columbus, and both games went beyond 60 minutes. The Panthers won one, and the Blue Jackets won one. But all of their other games have been against Chicago, and Chicago has surprised some people this year. And it's not to say that these teams can't win, but Chicago is not expected to be a playoff team this year. They've played four games against Detroit, talking about the Panthers, and they played Nashville. And Nashville, as we have talked about, has underperformed this year. So the Panthers had done very well in those first 10 games, pointing in every game but one. And they were starting to believe. I mean, belief is such a big part of this. Remember, we were talking with Rick Stroud about belief on the part of the Buccaneers when Tom Brady came in and helped them in that regard. Nothing to do with the actual skill on the field, I guess. I mean, it is the skill on the field. You need to have the ability, talking about football, but if you believe, it really enhances your skill, your confidence, your swagger, how crisply you may execute. And I think the same is true in hockey. So I think the Panthers, their strong start had helped them grow in belief that what they were doing was the way to have success. And they were extremely amped up to show that they could do it against a team that is regarded certainly as a playoff team and one of the top teams in the league. And they did. They did it. So, you know, congratulations to them for a really strong performance. I think they were completely deserving of what they got last night in terms of winning the game and winning it in resounding fashion. But I think that they did come into that game, Greg, with a feeling of not just we're facing the defending Stanley Cup champs, which is something the Lightning have had to deal with in every game this year, other teams maybe getting up to play them, but also this notion of we want to show we belong. And that's a great motivator.
It is. And I think that is sports sometimes. When there's a team that's trying to get to the top of the mountain and they're taking on the team that has already climbed it, they want to prove that they're just as good. And there is no question that happened last night. And if you disagree with that, you weren't watching the games. The interesting thing will be what adjustments are made. How does Tampa Bay now react to what they saw against the Florida Panthers? We're going to talk to Derek Lalonde about that coming up in our next segment, because I think that also is part of sports. You get hit in the mouth, Dave. Now it's your time. Now your turn to not only defend yourself, but hit back. And I think we're going to see a motivated and competitive team on Saturday. As I said before, with some of the injuries that they have, meaning the Lightning, assuming that Stamkos and Cirelli and obviously Kucherov not being in the lineup, with them not being there, if that is the case, that is a huge blow. That is essentially taking out Barkov, Huberdeau, and, you know, dare I say, Carter Verhaeghe. And I think that's fair. I think any team's going to not be as good when those players aren't in the lineup. But I think you can see a better effort, and I would expect that from the Lightning on Saturday. Speaking of Verhaeghe, I thought he was excellent. But I think he that was. Also falls into line, Dave, too, that, you know, he's going against his former team. And even though they parted ways in a very professional way, Verhaeghe wanted to go somewhere where he could find a little bit more playing time and wasn't going to get that here in Tampa Bay. I mean, he looked really good. And he's playing with skilled players. That's part of it. But you still have to produce. And it felt like when he had the puck, he was going to make a play. And kudos to him. But let's put it this way. I felt like he stood out a little bit last night, and it was good to see, at least for his sake.
I agree that he stood out, but I don't know that it had anything to do with him playing his former team. I mean, look,
you don't think
he wanted to do well against
his
former team. Yeah. My point is that he has been good all year.
Yeah, he has.
So it's not like he was having a humdrum kind of season, then all of a sudden the Lightning came up on the schedule and he elevated. I think he has elevated his game from the start here. And I know you had George Richards on yesterday, and George detailed how, you know, he's kind of slotted as maybe a middle six type of player, and he just forced their hand in training camp. It's like, you need to play me more. And getting a chance to play with Barkov is a great opportunity, but you need to take advantage of that opportunity, and he has. So he got a little lucky on his goal last night. It went off Trenak's skate, but he was able to make that play because of his entry, his attacking the net, which he did multiple times last night coming down the wing. And that's his seventh goal. He leads the Panthers in goals. So I agree that he was really good last night, but based on how he has played this year, I'm not sure that that was an exception. I think that that's kind of been the norm for him.
No, I think you're right. And I think he's elevated his play. That's good to see. Dave, before we go to break, we have some questions starting to roll in. I want to get to them probably after Derek, but this one was interesting because we don't have to spend a ton of time on it. But Al chimes in. He always listens to the show, and we appreciate his listening. He says, is it time to get Borgman in the game? Now, anytime I read a tweet like this, I'm assuming this is because he doesn't think Luke Shen is playing well. And it's more, there's always something to that because, I mean, who else would you talk about taking out? Maybe Cal Foote, but I think because he's a younger guy, you know, maybe that's the case, Al. Is it time to get Borgman in the game? I mean, I think eventually he'll get in, Dave. I don't think you probably want him sitting on the sidelines for the whole season. Who comes out for him to get an opportunity to play? You know, it's probably going to be a combination of Shen or Foote, assuming there's no injury.
So here's where I'm going on this. And I may surprise you, because I think that's a fair question. I think it's a fair question for a couple of reasons. It is probably not ideal for a player to have to sit the whole year on the taxi squad. I mean, like, if that's the way it's got to be, that's the way it's got to be.
Yeah.
So be it. But the Lightning are dealing with some injuries up front. So the likelihood, at least in the short term, that we may see more 11 and 7 is, I think, a fair assumption, right? They had to go 11 and 7 last night when Stamkos couldn't play because the only other forward they had was Jamel Smith. He was on the taxi squad. I mean, I guess they could have called him up. And presumably, if Stamkos and Cirelli can't play tomorrow, they will call up Jamel Smith. But if you're looking at the seven defensemen, so the biggest argument maybe against why they would use Borgman is they like the lefty-righty setup, and they have three stud lefty defensemen, Hedman, McDonough, and Sergachev. Borgman is a lefty. The other four defensemen are righties. Chernak, who's going to play the most of those four righties, Ruda, Shen, and Cal Foote, who's a rookie. Why would it make sense to put Borgman in? The reason that it might make sense is, in addition to the fact that you're like, well, we may need this guy, so let's get him some action, which is not the main reason to do it, but that would be one to put on that side of the ledger. The Panthers showed how quick they are. And to the extent the Lightning are going to be playing Carolina, I think that's a quick team.
Yeah.
As well. We're going to be seeing Dallas here. Not sure that Dallas has some quick players. They also had some strong guys in front of the net
some
in the
pluggers.
Final last year. I'm thinking about like Pavelski and Corey Perry and guys like that. But, you know, like Sagan can fly. You know, some of these young guys they have, Hintz, can fly. So they are a team that I think can play with pace. And maybe you look at your matchup and you say, because Borgman can do things. If we're going to talk about Shen, let's put Shen and Foot in the same category but in different categories. Foot is growing into his role as an NHL defenseman, but also his skating has been an area that he has had to improve, and he has improved, but it's still something that he is working on. Shen is a rugged, tough, solid defender. But you may decide that, you know what, Borgman is a guy who has a little
he's
bit more
that.
Foot speed.
Yeah.
He's not that.
Yeah.
But he may be more better suited to deal with a team that is playing with this much pace. I don't know if that's the case. And if you're going to bring Borgman in, then maybe that does mean you're going to move Sergachev to the right side, which he can do. He has done that. But I'm not saying I think it's going to happen, but I don't think the notion, given what we saw from the Panthers last night, the fact that you got two more games coming up against them and three in a row against Carolina, which is a team that plays with pace also, they may look at that. They may look at that, and whether it's saying we need to give Foot a night off, to which they've kind of worked in anyway, or they feel that Borgman may be a better fit against a certain opponent than Luke, which is no offense to Luke. I'm sure. Just saying, like, we saw that in the playoffs last year. You know, based on certain matchups, they put different guys in as opposed to other guys. I don't know if that's going to happen, but I think it's a good question. And I'm sure it's one that the coaches have looked at. Whether they're going to actually move on it or not remains to be seen.
Off the wall prediction, the Swedish connection will be reunited. It'll be Hedman and Bjorkman, and from there they'll play together like Strawman and Hedman.
I thought you were going to say Hedman and Strawman. You were going to put a Lightning jersey on Strawman.
Right, right.
Like, we really liked your game last night. He was really good last night.
You know what? He's
he was
solid.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
He's solid. I mean, that's what he does. But, you know, Bjorkman has played 48 games in the National Hockey League. I confess, I've never seen one of them.
So he's you know? Steady. No, he played against the Lightning,
yeah.
One or two, I think.
Okay.
He was with Toronto. I would describe him this way based on what I remember from him in those games that he played with Toronto and also in preseason or training camp, I should say. He is steady, like we say Luke Shen is steady, but he is a very smooth skater. And he is not going to be as physical as Luke Shen, but he definitely can play with a team that's got pace, I think, and could handle that.
Well, I want to see it happen, Dave, and we will see. Maybe he gets in this weekend. If not, at some point, he will get in. All right, there's a lot to discuss. We're going to do that with Derek Lalonde, Lightning assistant coach, coming up in the next segment. He is Dave Mishkin. I am Greg Linelli. So glad you're with us here on a Friday. It's always fun to talk hockey on a Friday. We'll be back right after this on Lightning Power Play.
This is Power Lunch, exclusively on Lightning Power Play on the iHeartRadio app.
All right, keep those questions coming in at Bolts Radio. We'll get to them on the other side of the break. But joining us right now, assistant coach for the Tampa Bay Lightning. We've had him on before. Glad he's on with us. It is Derek Lalonde. And Coach, first off, great to be with you. Thanks so much for taking some time out of your busy schedule to be with us. And I've got to think it's got to be nice coming off a loss to be playing right away against the same team in the Florida Panthers, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the unique thing about the schedule. You know, we've talked with all of our early success how hard it is to beat a team twice in a row. We've been fortunate enough to do it a few times, and that's put us out in front a little bit. And the reason that is that team that loses, they have a sense of urgency to their game. And that'll be our message to the guys now. A sense of urgency. We got outplayed in a lot of ways last night. We're going to be shorthanded, which will make fit for a little bit of adversity and a great challenge early on. You know, you want these things as a coach. Sometimes they're not fun or not comfortable going through, but when you're just kind of working through that process, you need these things as a team, and it's a great opportunity for us going into this whole night.
Yeah, you mentioned how in that second game, the dynamic sometimes changes. This is the first time in any sort of a series of two, or in this case, three games, that the Lightning have lost the first game. And you've seen that from the opposition. When you've won the first game, they have come back fairly well in the second game. Are you curious to see how the team responds tomorrow? Because the first crack at this?
Yeah, just because it is a unique situation. And it's such a unique group in that it's a confident group. So I don't know, you know, how it's, you know, can be handled. Again, everything, you know, we'll do our job on our end. I think we'll give them the whys and how things played out last night. And now you just hope it comes from that room where they'll have a sense of urgency and try to flip the result from last night.
Derek Lalonde joins us here on Power Lunch on Lightning Power Play. Coach, is there more coaching maybe on off days when you're playing a team two or three times in a row?
Yeah, there is. It's unique. It's a great question in that there is more coaching off days, but it feels like a playoff situation where, you know, you present a game plan to the guys and then, you know, you're playing the same opponent. So the turnaround for our staff when you're playing multiple teams within a week and you're never playing anyone back-to-back, it's a lot different. It's not, I don't know if it's more or less, it's just different. I think it's a little more of a comfort level in that you don't get surprised as much. I think guys know what to expect, especially if we're doing our job. So there is a lot to it. I think what's going to be unique over 8 games with the same opponent, and you see a little bit in playoffs, is the adjustments we need to make or teams will make that make this such a unique season.
I know the coaches are looking at the X's and the O's and what the Panthers did well and have done well this year. But sometimes you just get games like last night's game, don't you, Newsy, where they were extremely amped up, they were dialed in, and you guys just didn't have it. Do you have to accept that that is sometimes a function of a long regular season? Even if it's shorter, it's still a long regular season.
It could be, maybe even a function of our recent success. I wouldn't say it's come easy, because it's never easy to win in this league. But in some ways, we were comfortable with some of those wins. To start, we knew, you know, you're watching your opponent, especially at this division, just everyone plays each other constantly. Not surprised what we got from Florida. They've been showing that throughout. They play with pace. They play fast. This is the fastest team we've played to date. You know, got a message after the first period. You know, team plays a little faster than you've seen. All of a sudden, they're on top of you a little bit quicker in the forecheck. Their neutral zone play, you know, passing lanes that were maybe there previously aren't there anymore. So it took us a little bit of time, I think, to adjust. I think our best hockey was probably the start of the third, where we started to play a similar pace to them. It was probably just a little bit too late. But Florida is legit, and they are an extremely good team. I like what they've did in the off season, and they're just a confident group. And when a team's confident, they're playing fast, and their thought process is quick. Their speed through the puck, you can see their message to their guys. Everything's north. There's no thinking. There's no thought process. It's north and on top of us. And that's a good brand of hockey, and that's us. That's what we were in the playoffs. That's where we were being in the year. I think that's the formula in the National Hockey League right now to be successful. It's funny, we were talking after the game how Coach Q, his success in Chicago, it was a lot of regroup. It was a lot of slow it down, bring it back, puck control. And now, you know, he's adjusted with the rest of the National Hockey League, and their D didn't have the puck on their stick at all last night. They literally just got it north, and if it wasn't clean, it was tipped in, and they were on the forecheck. So that's a good team, and this will be a really good challenge for us over the next two games.
Quick follow-up, if that's okay, Greg. How do you combat that then? How do teams combat that against the Lightning? How do you do it against Florida?
We play with pace ourselves, clean with breakouts, clean with our retrievals. I think, you know, that was the mentality of, you know, you get in the playoffs and everyone's playing so fast. Why we were successful versus the Dallas Stars, the New York Islanders, you know, probably two of the best forechecking teams in the league, is we work as a group in getting the puck out of our zone. And I obviously saw last night we were slowing doing that. That ends up leading to a more sustained ozone time. And that's where we were last night. So we'll have to be quicker with the puck and play very similar, throw right back at them what they did to us. And we've done that for years now. I mean, that's been our identity. We got to get back to it going forward tomorrow night.
Derek Lalonde joins us here on Power Lunch on Lightning Power Play. Coach, you've got lineup flexibility. Does anything change going from 12 to 6 to 11 and 7 or vice versa?
Yeah, it suited our team extremely well, especially on the road. It's just it's tough to match up against us. That's probably why we've done it. It gets our skill more minutes. And then it's just with our D. You know, you're going to have your three left shots on D that are going to be constant, getting the regular shifts. And then with the four right shot Ds, it gives us an opportunity, you know, to maximize those minutes on the right side. You know, I think Luke Shen is most effective when he's in that 8 to 9 minute range. You start getting into the 13, 14 minute range. I think that's a lot on him. I would put Kalfoot in that same category. It's just worked very well the way we were built, and it's a reason we've won 60-70% of the games. Now we go 11-7. I think it flows very well for us. Now, you know, we're probably forced into 11-7 the last couple of games. We're still comfortable with it, but we're just forced in it by just where our lineup's at. So we'll be in that same situation for tomorrow.
I'm wondering, Newsy, in your long coaching career, have you found that, I mean, you don't want injuries, certainly, but with adversity sometimes comes opportunity, and players get the opportunity they might not otherwise have. The one that jumps out at me, and it's funny to think of him this way, but Braden Point's rookie year, the Lightning had all these injuries, and he ended up being the number one center for the home stretch that year, and it really helped him in his development. Do you find that this can sometimes be, in a way, a silver lining if guys do step up and take advantage of the opportunity?
100%. It is opportunity. Any team that's successful, it's usually depth plays a role in it. Obviously, we've started the season without Cooch. We're in a day-to-day situation without Stamkos. Looks like we're going to be without Cirelli now. I think it's going to be opportunity for guys. And you know, we're to the point now where we'll certainly be dipping into our taxi squad, maybe even into Syracuse. You know, we'll have to probably get a feel on where those injuries are and potentially how long, but at 100%, it's opportunity for guys to step up. Matthew Joseph's a perfect opportunity, a perfect situation. His start has been great. It's been a lot of credit to him, the offseason he had, his approach coming into camp, but I think a lot of it is opportunity, where now, you know, we know we're going to season without Nikita Kucherov. There's everyone kind of gets pushed up a slot. Example last night, you know, Stamkos is out. Everyone slots up a spot, and it's just more opportunity for guys. And someone like that has thrived. It's going to benefit him and us in the long run.
Derek Lalonde joins us here on Power Lunch on Lightning Power Play. Coach, two-parter for you. Did Stammer get dinged up in the Preds game? And you mentioned if he and
okay. Yeah, he got dinged up in the Preds game. I fell awkwardly on the lower body there. And just his body didn't respond extremely well. Playoff game last night, maybe.
Yeah.
But he'll still be a day-to-day. I don't think we're in any rush with him. And he shouldn't be in any rush. And then, Tony last night, I'm sure you guys saw there in the third period, we're trying to make a little push there. And he went down, had to go back, something upper body. Did not look good at the time. You know, it's one of those things. Obviously, we'll leave that to our medical guys. But you know, you kind of wake up hoping for some good news, and I'll be having my omelet looking for Mr. Mulligan when he comes down to breakfast this morning. See how
we
that
should
goes.
We should point out that we are recording
this.
The
are.
Show airs 12 to 1. So by the time this airs, you will have had your omelet.
Well, Coach, my second part, you mentioned Matthew Joseph, and he has played really well and you know, he's showing off his speed. It's a guy who feels like he wants to stay in the lineup and doesn't want to be sent back down, which is great to have. I'm wondering, though, with these injuries, is a guy like Tyler Johnson somebody you're looking at to really elevate his game? I know at times he's played wing, but center's his natural position. Is there maybe the looking at this and saying, oh, Tyler's a guy, if we put him at center, maybe this gets him going too?
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone has to. And yes, that's a very good observation. You know, you lose a center, we'll probably have different guys, different looks at center. Tyler's someone, obviously, we'll potentially look at to play center. We may break up the Gord and Goudreau line, and both of those guys have had some success throughout their career at center. There's a lot of things that we'll look at. Jamel Smith will probably slot in as he's in our taxi squad right now. Yes, we want to be comfortable with our lineup up the middle. And you guys have seen us the last couple of years. I don't know if there's a better two-way player in the league than Cirelli. That's a great opportunity for someone to step up and take those minutes in both the offensive and checking situation.
Last one from me, Newsy. I know last night's game was a disappointment, but what has been your overall take on the Lightning's start and how many points you've been able to bank so far?
I think approach. I think it's come from the room. I think that is a carryover from where we were in the playoffs. Anytime you have the success we had, and obviously the ultimate goal to win a Stanley Cup, as a coaching staff, we can lead them, we can direct them. We're giving them every opportunity to be successful. We're giving them the hows and whys. Things are playing out individually in the team. But when you ultimately get to that top, it comes from the room. And I think that leadership, that confidence just carried over from the playoffs last year throughout our entire lineup. And I think that led to our success and start. And it's a short season. Knock on wood, you never know what's going to happen. We knew we're going to go through some adversities. And you know, that's why you need to bank points. And we're going to go through it. We're going to go through some lineups for the first time in a long time, or the next week or two, if these injuries are longer than we hope. Then you know, we may be looking at some rosters and some lineups that are deeper than ours. And that's a luxury we've had here for a while, where you look at roster A and you look at roster B. We've been fortunate enough to field a pretty darn good team. We may be looking up at a couple teams in the next couple of weeks where they might be better than us. How do we react to that? How do we find a way to get points? That's the adversity and the grind of a season, especially a short season. I'm looking forward to see how our guys handle it.
Coach, last question on my end, it's similar to that one, is the shortened schedule. Do you think that's been a factor in your team getting off to a good start, knowing that every game is meaningful? There is no Stanley Cup hangover. You can't afford to have one.
You can't, and I think so. And again, we feel very fortunate. We need to bank and get points in any situation. The ultimate goal is, in a shortened season or any season, just making the playoffs. And it's even more so. You can't afford any lapses in your season. You can't afford 3, 4, 5 game losing streaks. You got to get a little bit lucky in a shortened season. And to this date, obviously, I wouldn't call much luck losing Cooch early on, but it's kind of like not having Stamkos in the playoffs. You know what you adjust to it. And then throughout, you know, into this little stretch here, we really haven't even had a nick. And we knew it's coming. It's shortened season. Everyone's going through it. Teams have already gone through it. We're just happening to go through it right now. And again, I think our guys will handle it well.
Well, Coach, best of luck this weekend. Thanks for taking some time today on Power Lunch, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Newsy.
All right, that is the assistant coach of the Tampa Bay Lightning, Derek Lalonde. If you want to get involved in some questions, you can hit us up on Twitter, @BoltsRadio. And, you know, Dave, that's one thing that, regardless of how good your team is, once injuries start to pile up, then it just becomes survival mode. And it, in many ways, can expose how deep or how thin your organization is depth-wise. And I think for the Lightning, for the most part, over the last 2 years, they've been able to recall guys from Syracuse who have come up and done a nice job filling in whenever they've had major injuries. I mean, we can even go, you know, a few years back. Remember Mike Blunden?
Yeah.
Remember, I mean, a guy that came up and, you know,
played
had
in the
a
playoffs.
Role. He played in the playoffs in that Detroit series. Remember, he was the one that had the bloody fan. But what I'm saying is, and as you know, you have guys that, you know, maybe you don't initially think you're going to need, but the Lightning over the last few years have done a nice job at least plugging in the holes when called upon, and it sounds like they may have to do that again.
Well, look, we'll get more information tomorrow. I guess it's good news that the Newsy confirmed that Stamkos is a day-to-day situation, and maybe if it were a playoff game last night, he might have come in. That kind of colors inside the lines a little bit. You get a sense of, yeah, it really is day-to-day, and hopefully it's going to be sooner rather than later. And like he said, they're kind of in a wait-and-see situation on Cirelli. But if neither guy can go tomorrow, then the Lightning are presumably going to be summoning Jamel Smith from the taxi squad to get them to 11 forwards. And then, of course, you're going to need more reinforcements. So we have talked about this, Greg. I believe that if a player, in this case, for the Lightning, is summoned from Syracuse, that player must quarantine for 7 days before he can join the taxi squad. That was what I was led to believe, but I guess we're going to find out in practice here. I shouldn't say led to believe. That was kind of what I heard, and I thought I read it, but it's not like I zeroed in on it because it wasn't applicable at that point. Now we're going to find out if that is, in fact, the case. Also, you know, the league does mandate that you have to have a minimum of 4 players on your taxi squad. So if Jamel Smith is summoned, I don't know if that means that you do need to add additional players to the taxi squad. As it stands right now, the Lightning have Borgman, 2 goalies, Gibson and Martin, and Smith. So if Smith is elevated, does that mean that you have to call somebody up and have that player quarantine? I guess all of that will become clear in the coming days. But, you know, between now and 7 days from now, the Lightning have a handful of games. You know, they play tomorrow against the Panthers, Monday against the Panthers, and then the 2-game set in Dallas starts Thursday. So, I mean, that's, you know, 3 additional games in the next week. So, you know, hopefully Stamkos will be back before too long. But that's going to be interesting to kind of monitor that situation and see what's what. And I'll just add this, Greg. Like, I understand that Derek Lalonde was talking about roster depth and they may be looking up at some teams. And there may be something to that, particularly if the Lightning sustain more injuries. But let's not forget, the Lightning have Victor Hedman. They have Ryan McDonagh. They have Mikhail Sergachev. They have Andre Vasilevsky. They have Braden Point. They have Andre Palat.
Are you saying they're good, Dave?
I mean, I think that there are enough players that are healthy still that can certainly give them a boost in terms of their roster depth. And whether you're talking about Braden Point, who I thought was head and shoulders the best Lightning player in last night's game, or somebody coming up from the taxi squad, it doesn't matter who that player is. You can control your work ethic and your compete level. And that is an area where the Lightning lost that battle last night. So no matter who's in the lineup, they need to elevate that in order to have success. And maybe when you recognize that you're short, that automatically goes up. That is, I don't want to say it's an artificial boost because it's not artificial, but like the Panthers were juiced to play last night's game. They were in a we belong and we want to show we belong mindset. And I think they played that way. The Lightning don't have to show that, right? But what the Lightning can do, particularly if they're short, is say, you know what? We're short. So we really need to be dialed in here to ensure that we compete and we do well enough to get points. By short, I don't mean they're dressing less than 20. What I mean is that some of their regulars are out. So I'm curious to see how that
unfolds. I agree. And listen, for all the reasons we said that the team Tampa Bay would beat on the first game of a two-game set, that they would be ready in the second game, I fully expect Tampa Bay, Dave, to be ready to go. If anything, they're going to play with more speed, probably a little more tenacity, and they're probably going to be a little more aware of who's on the ice and what they can do, meaning the Florida Panthers. Now, Dave, I think it's a fair question. Whether or not that's good enough if Stamkos, Cirelli, and Kucherov aren't in the lineup, I think that's a fair question. I mean, that would be like us talking about taking Huberto, Barkov, and, you know, name another player. I mean, Ekblad. What a great player he is. I mean, what just a phenomenal day. But
he had a great game.
He did, and he's really a good player. Did. But and I told our audience yesterday a little insider joke on the Ekblad stuff, which at some point we'll reveal down the road.
I think his career has progressed over the last few years. And I think Joel Quenneville has been a great coach
I'm sure he has. But what I would say to that is just it still might not be good enough. But, you know, don't panic. And as you and I have talked about, the Lightning don't have as much to prove compared to the Panthers. The bottom line is be one of the top four teams to get in, which is one of the reasons why it's so important to beat up on the Nashvilles and the Detroits. No offense to them. They may improve as the season goes on. But while they were struggling, you need to pick up points. So then if you run into a little bit of some tough sledding, let's say it's against the Panthers or the Stars, and you're not as dominant, then you're going to be okay. And I'm completely comfortable with how the Lightning are going to approach tomorrow night's game against the Panthers and then the one after that. All I'm saying is, with where they are injury-wise, let's just not be completely shocked if the Panthers pick up some points. The Panthers are a really good team. I think we saw that. And the Lightning are playing probably with some significant players not in the lineup. So I think we have to keep it in perspective when we're evaluating when these teams are playing and what it means for the Florida Panthers. What does it mean for the Tampa Bay Lightning? But make no mistake, folks, the Lightning will be ready to go tomorrow night. Now, as I said, whether it's good enough, we'll find out. Let's get to some questions here, Dave, and then we can sign off at Bolts Radio. And this kind of goes to a question I asked Derek Lalonde, although I think Bob probably puts it a little more, a little harsher, I should say. He said, the elephant in the room question. Why on earth is Nine playing on the top line? Is he the best option with the current roster and injuries? Not piling on TJ, but you are. But he brings no jump to that line. Thoughts? Do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
Yeah, no, I'll take this
one. You take this
one.
Go ahead.
Nine on the top line was short-lived last night. Now, the Lightning weren't happy with how the game was going, so the lines were definitely shuffled and jumbled. And not just because they had 11 forwards, because we've seen them dress 11 forwards and keep the three lines completely intact, and then that fourth line is intact except for the roving third forward. That was not the case last night. So fairly early in the game, by early I'm saying before the third period, John Cooper had already shuffled things up. I think that we saw Cirelli actually with Point and Palat, because he was looking – he was looking for an answer, and he wasn't happy with what he was seeing. Now, the direct part of the first question was, why was Johnson on the top line? And he has played with Point and Palat before, and that line has had success. In the one other regulation loss the Lightning had this year prior to last night at Columbus, another game in which the Lightning didn't have a lot going and didn't play very well. In the third period, Johnson and Stamkos swapped spots. So Stamkos went with Cirelli and Killorn. Johnson went with Point and Palat. So that's been a line that has been used, and that's why I think they went to it at the start of last night's game, but clearly it wasn't clicking, so they went away from it. What I would expect to see, at least at the beginning of tomorrow's game, and I may be way off here, but you brought him up to Derek, and he acknowledged that. I think Johnson is going to be the second-line center, and I think he's going to play with Killorn. I don't know how the rest of the line is going to look. Maybe it's Joseph. And that was, you know, the line for the third period last night. I think Tyler Johnson, as long as Cirelli is out of the lineup, will be the second-line center.
Yes.
Now, if things don't go well, they have other options. Like Newsy mentioned, they could split up the Gord line because Gord is the center and Barkley Goodrow is the center. So they could split those guys and maybe one of them takes one of the center spots, sure, and Johnson goes back to wing. But my hunch is, based on what we saw last night and the fact that Johnson, his natural position is center, and now you're missing Cirelli, I think he slots in there.
I think it would hurt his confidence. And I'm saying this with a guy who's been in the league a long time, who's had a lot of success, and who's been put on waivers twice. I think Tyler Johnson's been through a lot. I think mentally he's pretty strong, Dave. I don't know what to expect from him this year. I was expecting a bit more offensively, and that still may be the case. I'm curious what you think about moving Matthew Joseph up, though, to center, if he were to be on that second line.
Yeah, I don't think he is going to play center on that line.
Well, I guess I'm saying if you feel like Tyler Johnson isn't giving you what you need. Because I agree with you. I think Johnson's going to be your second line center.
Yeah, I think you're jumping a few steps ahead there. And again, in a game, the coach is reacting to what he is seeing, what the staff is seeing. But
let's put it this way. I'd give him a few shifts there.
Yeah.
Stagnant.
Are you saying Kalorn Johnson and Joseph are aligned with Johnson to center and they're not crazy about how it's going? So now they keep the line as a unit of three, but Joseph actually is playing the position of center.
Correct.
I don't think that's the case. I think if the line is not clicking the way they like, they mix up the line and maybe Yanni Gord goes up there.
Okay.
Or, you know, if you're going to make Joseph the center, there's going to be another winger on the right side. But what do I know?
You and I are projecting.
I'm not the one making the decisions this. But I think if a line is not clicking, the answer is not switching two guys on the same line from wing to center. I think that the answer is changing the look of the line.
And that could be fair. I'm hesitant to change up the third line because I think it's been very good, and I think that is the one line that's just, you know what you're going to get. Dump the puck in, use that speed, that forecheck, that tenacity. I think it really just becomes the top six mixing and matching, and what options do you have? I think you're right. In a perfect world, Tyler Johnson's your second line center, and you're feeling really good. And Dave, I think that was the thinking even before the season started. You know, Johnson's playing on the wing. His natural position is on the center, but what a luxury it is to have him on a second line because he can play both and he's a guy that can fill the net. I'm just saying if it's not happening right now and if you want to give that line a period, maybe a period and a half on Saturday and things aren't clicking, because we have seen Joseph, you know, at times play with Kalorn. Is there an opportunity, you know, for him to use that speed just to give the Panthers a different look and see what happens? I'm sure those conversations are being had. But I think bottom line to Bob's question, I think what he's getting at is he probably wants to see a bit more from Tyler Johnson. And I think that's a fair question, but I think it's one where the Lightning are probably going to continue to give Johnson some looks just because of his track record and what he means to this team. I don't know if you agree or disagree with that line of thinking, but I think that's kind of where I'm coming from with Johnson.
Yeah, and I mean, again, we've gone around this topic for much of this year. I actually think the Kalorn Cirelli Johnson line has played pretty well.
I know
this
you have.
Year.
Yes. Yes.
Now, is Johnson at a point per game? No. But, you know, Cirelli, Kalorn, and Johnson had a really good game the first game in Nashville.
Yes.
And I think the Lightning's play dipped a little bit in the second game against Nashville. They were very efficient, and they scored some goals on some terrific passing plays. But Nashville played better in the second game than in the first game, and I think we addressed that, which is why the game unfolded that way. So it's harder to just, you know, look at that line and say, yeah, they were flying, because the Lightning had to defend more in the second game against Nashville than they did in the first. But I think as a whole, that unit of three has played pretty well this year. So now Johnson is presumably going to be at center. And he started taking some faceoffs last night because the Lightning were really struggling.
Yeah, they were bad.
In the dot. And he was one guy, I'm pretty sure he finished over 50%, but I know he was over 50% through two periods.
He's at 56% this year. I mean, not
yeah, he hasn't
time.
Taken a lot. Yeah, he hasn't taken time. A lot, right? Correct. But last night, Point was really struggling early in the game, and so they put Johnson in, and he was the one guy in the first period who was over 50%. So, look, if he can start winning faceoffs, too, not start winning faceoffs, if he's going to be taking faceoffs regularly and he continues to be over 50%, then whether he's technically at center or not, he will be taking faceoffs, I think, for sure. So I don't know. I guess I come at it this way, Greg. I think when you're missing key guys, what do you look to do tomorrow if you're the Lightning? Number one, hire compete. Like, that has to be first on the dry erase board. Like, the Lightning need to start winning more puck battles right off the bat tomorrow than they did for much of last night's game. I think Newsy talked about playing with pace. You want to be able to do that. And that is part mental, like being committed to doing it, and part execution, because you can try and hurry, but if you hurry and make a bad play, then that's not executing the game plan properly. But I think that your base building block beyond those two things is making sure your structure is good. So when you're short, I think the first thing you worry about, beyond the intangibles like playing hard and winning puck battles,
correct,
is your own net. So the Lightning need to play a lot better defensively, both with and without the puck, tomorrow than they did last night. Florida scored 4 goals before the empty netter, but they had a lot of fairly dangerous attempts to the net. Not all of them went on net, but the Lightning did not defend very well last night. They need to make life harder on the Panthers when the Panthers have the puck, as the Panthers did to the Lightning when the Lightning had the puck. The Panthers defended very, very well last night. Not only did they manage the puck well, they were gapping up really well last night and taking away the Lightning's time and space. I think when you're short, that's something that everyone can do. You don't need to be a 40-goal scorer to be able to defend hard and defend well. And the Lightning are a really good team in that regard. We saw that in the bubble last year and the early part of this year too. I think they've defended well for the most part, with rare exception. So I think that's where you start. And if you're defending well, then maybe you have the puck more and you're winning more puck battles, you're going to have the puck more, and then take it from there. And then maybe you force them to defend more. You tire them out a little bit. They start to make less than ideal plays with the puck, and you start generating chances that way. But if you start pressing, looking for chances at the expense of what you're doing from your blue line in,
sure,
that is not a recipe for success. And I think that sometimes you get more focused on that when you recognize, all right, no Stamkos, no Cirelli,
sure,
no Kucherov. Like, let's batten the hatches, boys. And I think that can lead to successful defensive play. We'll see if they can do it tomorrow, but I'm just saying, like, that's kind of how I think about how they move forward here. Not so much, well, is Johnson going to be a fit on the second line? I'm more thinking about how is the team going to defend and compete tomorrow, the entire group.
I think big picture, you're absolutely right. I think I've said this. I think they're going to have a much better compete level, however you want to quantify that, tomorrow night. I think they're going to come ready to go. I think there's going to be an intensity to them that we didn't see in the previous game. I think they're going to be harder on pucks. Does that translate into a win? As I said before, I don't know. Key losses are key losses.
Yeah,
some losses
they
are bigger than others. And I think that regardless of how hard you play, sometimes you can't make up for, you know, elite players playing and not being in the lineup. To Tyler Johnson, I agree with you. Keep him on the second line. Let's see how that plays out. Does have just 1 goal through 11 games. That is a stat that needs to improve. He is paid to be a top 6 guy and fill the net. I want to see that a little bit more. And I have every confidence he'll get there. But especially now, the Lightning aren't going to, you know, win games all the time with all those injuries, just 1-0. They're going to need to have some guys generate some offense. We know about Braden Point. You mentioned the back end, which I want to get to in just a second here. But I do think they're going to need Tyler Johnson to do more than just, you know, be pretty good on most nights and play the body and be in position defensively. I think they're going to need a little bit more offensively. To your point about the back end, we talk about adjustments and how are they going to compete with Florida's pace
and forecheck and speed. You mentioned Sergachev, McDonough, and Hedman. Those are three very, very good defensemen. Two of those three are, you know, all-star type defensemen. One of them might be the best defenseman in the league, and Sergachev's a guy who I think is growing game by game. Getting the puck out quickly from your own zone and to the forwards with a good pass is something they can do. And you heard Derek Lalonde, you know, talk about this, but also to Brian Engbaum last night on the last call. I mean, Florida, their defense barely had the puck on their sticks. They were getting it up to their forwards as quickly as possible. Dave, there's no reason why Tampa Bay can't do that. And I understand that's more of a simplistic way to look at it, because some of that is your forwards have to slow down their forwards from coming into your own zone and applying pressure and a forecheck. And I understand that. It's not as easy as me saying, get the puck from your defenseman and get it up to the forwards. I mean, it's there's a lot that goes into it. But
and the forwards were open.
Yes.
So, you know, one other way to tie it, rather than at the head, get it at the tail. In other words, if you can't get to the defenseman when they deliver the pass, at least the recipient of the pass can be covered. So that pass is contested and not completed. And that was one thing I thought the Panthers did very well to the Lightning last night. You know, the Lightning defense, when they had time to try and move it up ice, you know, they passed to the guys who had no room.
Yeah, and they were making blind passes, too. I mean, there were a lot of passes. They just weren't looking where they were passing the puck. It was being intercepted. Chief mentioned that on the broadcast. And I think, again, Dave, full credit, you know me. I want to give credit to Florida. I think they made Tampa Bay uncomfortable last night. And
yeah,
I think
I agree with that.
That is more to do with Florida than maybe Tampa Bay's deficiencies. However, now they've had time to adjust and to look at this. I think one of the strengths of this team, there are many, is their back end and the ability of their defensemen to either pass the puck up quickly to forwards or, Dave, to your point, if a forward is covered, skate it out. And they have some guys who can skate.
Yeah.
And now it becomes, once you cross center ice, if you're a defenseman and you're skating, again, it's a very simple way of looking at it, are you trying to make the fancy pass or do you just go dump and chase? I think that's the way with these injuries they're going to have to play a bit more. Meaning, if it's got to be 2-1, 3-2, 1-0 even, but let's not be fancy. And let's keep it pretty simple. So if you have the puck on your stick, you cross center ice, there's not a play there, dump it and chase. Live to fight another day and let some of these guys go bang. Let that third line go in there and bang things around. Let Joseph go in with his speed. Hey, if Jamel Smith's in, you don't think Jamel Smith is going to be fired up to get in that lineup for the first time in how many games, Dave? I mean, that poor guy hasn't played in probably almost a year. I guess what I'm saying, a simpler approach, but I think you can use that simple approach and build off of what your defensemen do, because I think your defensemen are a pretty big strength on most nights when these teams go at one another.
Well, the simple approach is consistent with what I was talking about in terms of the defensive mentality, too.
Yes.
So it all folds into the same mindset. I want to bring up another point too, which I think is a fair point to bring up, and I'm bringing it up with no disrespect intended toward the Panthers. I think we have said that they played phenomenally well last night, but here is my question to you. Do you think that was the Florida Panthers' best game of their season so far, without having watched their games? But do you think that was their best game?
To be fair, you'd be hard pressed to say there was a better one. Let's put
right.
it that way.
I agree with that. So we kind of spelled out why they were amped up to play, and they used that emotion in a very productive way. You could see the emotion from their players when Vetrano scored the first goal. Looked like he scored a playoff goal.
Yeah.
Like, Connolly scored that empty netter. He was mobbed at the bench. Now, it was his first goal.
Yeah, that was
goal.
His first goal, in fairness.
I understand that.
Yeah, yeah.
And so maybe a little bit of ribbing. But it's not like it's not like the Lightning mobbed Pat Maroon when he scored his first
they
goal.
They should have.
That was not an empty netter. But what I'm saying is that game meant a lot to the
it
Panthers.
Did.
You could
no doubt.
Sense it before the game. You could see it in how they played. So the question is, like, we have been talking this whole show under the assumption that the Lightning are going to see the exact same level from the Panthers tomorrow. And I just don't know if that's the case. Like, every NHL team can play to its highest standard at points in a season. It's hard to do it consistently, and no team can do it consistently. I mean, there's not one team in the NHL that can play at the top of its game for 82 games. Every team has games where they're off a little bit, or they dip, or the other team, to your point, has something to do with it to take you off your game a little bit. It's very, very hard to do. So high marks to the Panthers for playing as well as they did last night. But now I do think the dynamic has changed. It's no longer the first meeting between the teams. The Panthers did accomplish what they wanted to. I think they served notice that they're for real. We heard Derek Lalonde say, like, they're legit.
Yeah.
And the same will be true for the Lightning. The dynamic has changed for the Lightning. They're not rolling in 9-1-1. You know, for them, there was an element of this is game 12. It was much different for the Panthers. Now, they're coming off a loss. They get to come back at the same team. So we'll see. And so if the Panthers are not able to reach the same level they were at last night, that could play a factor too. I don't know that that's going to happen. But if we feel that that was as well as the Panthers have played this year, that means they were not at that level in their other 10 games, right? Or at least if they were, they may have been close to that level.
Sure.
But they weren't at that level. So that's what makes this even more compelling, I think, than in a typical regular season. This the series component and, you know, how a team's level can change from game to game. We've seen it from the Lightning. They've had some magnificent first games, and then they have not been able to replicate it in the second game, and the opposition has had something to do with that. But I think you can look at the last two series the Lightning had. Their game one against Detroit and their game one against Nashville were two of their best games of the year. And then in game two, it was a completely different story, or at least a different story. Maybe not
you
a completely
expect,
different story, look, but the other team played better, yeah. And the Lightning weren't able to keep that same level.
You're right. And Dave, I think this is just how sports are played, too. I think when you're a team that loses to a particular team and then have a chance to play them again, you're going to see a better effort from the team that lost. I do not expect the Florida Panthers to play as well Saturday night as they did on Thursday. If they can, Greg. Kudos to them.
Yeah, that's great.
If they can, kudos
it's hard
to, them.
To do, is right. I think the point that we're trying to make.
It's very hard to do. And you know what's hard to do? Is to beat the Tampa Bay Lightning twice in a row. I mean, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. But what makes Tampa Bay so good is the fact that they stay away from long losing streaks. Now, that's because they have a really talented roster, but they also have an elite goaltender. And I thought Vasi played well. There's not much he could have done on those goals on Thursday night. And I'd expect a better performance from the Tampa Bay Lightning. What I'm saying is, do we think that the losses Tampa Bay sustained is going to be too much for them to overcome, even if they play a more passion-style game on Saturday? And I think that just remains to be seen, and we'll see how that all plays out. All right, that is going to wrap it up for us on the show today. Thanks to Derek Lalonde for joining us. We always appreciate having an assistant coach come on. And Dave, we'll be back at it again tomorrow as the Lightning take on the Panthers. And I think we're all looking forward to seeing what type of game we're going to see from both teams tomorrow.
Agreed.
Night.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see.
Yeah, it'll be fun. We'll start with the pregame at 6:30. And Dave and who do you got on the – Phil, I think, right? Phil.
Yeah.
All right.
Phil's Hall of parachuting Famer. In.
I love it. Phil will be with you, and that'll be a lot of fun. All right, everybody, thanks to Steve Versnick as well. Thanks for listening. We always appreciate it. We'll be with you tomorrow for the game, and hope you enjoy it right here on Lightning Power Play.